Here's a theme song, you know it's not a mean song. It's a good song, just as it should song. American Brews and Tunes.
Shibbity beeby doo!
All right, well,
Breaking news.
Extra, read all about it.
Hear all about it, listen to it now.
And then.
The Beatles. Now and then, yeah. Good transition. That was a good one.
It was a terrible transition.
For those who haven't heard, the Beatles released a new song. Yes, the Beatles.
The Beatles.
The Beatles. Not
the Beatles.
Not just Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr, but the Beatles.
John, Paul, George, and Ringo.
Yes.
Which is pretty, pretty wild, if you ask me.
Yeah, they have officially collaborated on another song. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and that is what we're going to be talking about this week on episode number 145 of American Brews and Tunes.
145. We're finally there. Been waiting for episode 145 for a long time.
It's just something about that number, I guess.
Yep, I'm waiting for every single episode that we get to record.
Well, I mean, there you go. We've reached 145, and we're going to be diving in. It's not going to be a super duper long episode, just a little free form.
I don't anticipate it being a long episode.
Yeah, just a free form episode about this brand spanking new Beatles song.
Yeah, probably the last song, I would assume.
I mean, that's what they're saying. It's the final Beatles song.
Yeah.
Before we touch on that,
we can talk about some drinks first.
Do you have any any bevvies this week, Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just having a tea.
Oh,
I was sick at the end of last week, and so I'm still technically getting over it, I guess. So you might hear like a slight nasally thing going on with my voice, but.
Was it weather-related by chance? I saw you had some snow up there in Minnesota.
Yeah, there was some snow. Maybe the weather had something to do with it, but it was actually more COVID-related.
Oh.
My brother went to a Vikings game, and apparently he thinks that's where he got COVID from. And then since we lived together, it just so happened that...
Passed it on like a gift.
Yep, just exactly like a gift. Yeah, he was like, "Here you go, Jesse. You can have this."
That's brotherly love.
Yeah, so I've been dealing with that for the weekend. Feeling pretty good today, though. So for my bevy, I'm going with Traditional Medicinals Seasonal Wellness Organic Throat Coat Eucalyptus.
Oh. I think I've had that brand's throat coat before, but not the eucalyptus.
It's really, really good.
I think they have a couple different flavors of throat coat, right?
I believe they do, yeah.
Yeah.
They have the original and then the eucalyptus. I know that for sure.
I've only had the original, which I really like. I'm also looking that they also have lemon... I don't know how to pronounce this. Echinacea?
I have no idea what that is.
They also have a lemon ginger. They've got the eucalyptus.
Oh, lemon ginger sounds pretty good.
Yeah, so a couple different types, but I've only ever had the original, and that's a good throat coat.
Yeah, I will confess, this is not my first time having this tea, but...
It's from what not?
I've tasted, it's really good. Yes. Well, you see, when you buy a tea from a store, Steve, they normally come in a pack of 20.
Give or take.
So I have, over this whole weekend, the course of this weekend, have gone through quite a few of these because they have been necessary.
Now, I'm genuinely curious, what does eucalyptus taste like?
I feel like it's kind of minty.
Minty. See, I don't know if I've had... I think. I don't know if I've had eucalyptus before, to be honest.
I don't know. Let me look it up.
Eucalyptus.
Eucalyptus.
Is that a tree?
It's a plant.
I know it's a plant, but does it come from a tree or is it just like a fern?
Type? I think it might be like a shorter, like a bush or something like that.
Yeah, because I feel like I've heard Under the Eucalyptus Tree.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Or, I don't know, I would consider myself ignorant to eucalyptus.
So it says that eucalyptus is, like, you can buy you can buy it in herb form.
You can buy it in tree form? Or in tea form.
Or in tea form, yeah. I'm reading that the taste is kind of like citrus and mint, so...
Okay, there you go.
It looks like it probably is a tree. Well, it's a type of tree. Eucalyptus is a genus of more than 700 species of flowering plants.
Okay, so that's pretty vague.
It's pretty vague.
That's a lot of different types. But throat coat in general has some pretty good different herbs and root type ingredients.
It does, yeah. Eucalyptus leaf, licorice root, spearmint leaf, marshmallow root, slippery elm bark, and licorice dry aqueous extract.
Every throat coat tea I've had has like a nice natural sweetness to it.
I think that's kind of what the eucalyptus provides in this one.
Mm-hmm. And perhaps the marshmallow root. I have no idea. It just sounds like that should be sweet.
I don't know what marshmallow root is, but...
You know, you just plant a marshmallow in the backyard and bam.
I'm going to try that here.
Well, that's what Jesse's having this week.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I just took a sip. I jumped the gun.
That's okay. We're not running a race, so you can jump the gun, I guess. I'm having... Since this is like a... Just a single Beatles song. I had this little beer in my fridge.
Oh, nice.
It's akin to, I believe, what I had on the last episode, which was the Hoppin' Frog Boris, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
This week, I'm having the Hoppin' Frog Taurus with a T.
Oh.
It's a...
little play on the astrological calendar signs.
I guess. I don't think so, though, because it's just the triple Boris, the T.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
It's coming in at an 8-ounce can. So literally, it's a tiny little can.
Okay.
And I think that's because it clocks in at 13.8% alcohol by volume.
Okay, yeah. So it's like a little wine cooler.
Yeah.
Except it's a beer.
Which I think all beers that are like this high in gravity should come in these little cans.
That would actually be really nice.
Because, like, with the Bourbon County brand stout...
They come in bombers.
Yeah. If you drink one of those, you're like... I mean, you're
750 milliliters.
You're good for the night. Like, it's...
Yeah, you definitely are.
Yeah, so this is... responsible to drink in this small form with a beer that punches... high in volume, alcohol by volume.
That is a pretty, that is a good amount.
Yes. So I'm...
How much? 13% is what you said it is?
13.8. So almost 14.
Almost 14. Yeah, that is definitely enough. 8 ounces is plenty.
So this, like, if you were having even, like, 12 ounces or six, like a pint...
Yeah, that would put you down.
Yeah, because that's a lot. So I'm glad I have this nice little... amount here. What does it say on the... Here, I'll read you what it says on the can. I don't know how different it's from the Boris, but here's what it says. The super tasty triple oatmeal Russian Imperial Stout is rich, dark, and flavorful, yet amazingly balanced and silky smooth. That's the way we like it, and an obvious progression in our Imperial Stout family. There comes a day to break out of your shell and stretch your wings. Now's the time for Taurus.
Wow.
I mean, who has both a shell and wings, as this description implies?
I don't know. They must have put some Red Bull in that beer.
I mean, I hope not, for my sake.
yeah, that would be rough.
Do you remember...
A shot of caffeine with that.
Remember Four Locos, when those were a thing?
Uh-huh. I never had one.
I've had them, but I've never had the ones that actually had, like, energy drink in them.
Oh, yeah, I know. It was, like, 14% alcohol and caffeine.
Yeah, horrible idea.
Jeez, that would destroy me right now. If I had one of those right now, I would die, probably.
Yeah, not a good idea.
But what is a good idea is this Beatles song.
Yep. All right, sorry, I just poured my Taurus.
All right.
It is...
Should we give it a cheers and a try?
I'd say so. Mine's as dark as the night. As we always say on American Brews and Tunes... Down the eucalyptus tree hatch.
Thank you, eucalyptus plant, for sacrificing yourself to give me a nice throat coat.
Well, this tastes pretty strong.
Mm. Delicious.
Definitely flavorful.
Okay.
Is it
malty?
Oh, it's extremely malty. Very chocolatey, very roasty. I'm glad that I only have 8 ounces of this because...
Yeah.
It's the perfect amount.
How is it on the booze level?
You know, it's like so like bitter sweet, like a dark chocolate that I think that's hiding the booze because it does not taste.
That sounds pretty good.
It does not taste like a near 14% alcohol by volume beer. It tastes like if someone handed this to me and they said, "Steven, what is the alcohol content of this beer by your taste?" I would say,
yeah.
I don't know, 8 or 9.
Okay.
It's there.
Wow,
it's,
really?
It's a little warming, but it doesn't taste like 14%.
But it's actually 14%. That's pretty wild.
Yeah, pretty wild and pretty dangerous if you ask me.
Yeah.
But I'm feeling like a bad boy today.
Good for you, Steve.
No, it's been a long week, so this is my nice little treat for myself. I had overtime at work and was just
perfect.
Busy week. But today we have daylight savings. We have good temperatures in Nashville, at least. So I'm...
Yeah, I'm sure it's pretty nice down there.
Yeah, I'm
it's actually pretty nice up here, too. It's 55 degrees up here.
Ooh, that's more chilly than... It's like...
Not bad at all.
Upper 60s here today, but we've been in the 40s and 50s the past week.
Oh, wow.
So it's nice today.
Nice.
Shall we dive into this new Beatles song?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, now, did you hear about this song before I told you?
No, before you told me, I had no idea that they were releasing a new song or that they even tried to release the song in the 90s.
Now, I knew about the 90s because when they were putting together the Beatles anthology CDs, which was a lot of like B-sides, rarities, and outtakes, they unearthed several mostly completed demos from John Lennon, and they put together two songs. One was called Free as a Bird, and I don't remember the second song, but they put those out as, like, new Beatles songs included with the anthology series. I think they were decent songs, but apparently they also had this song that John Lennon wrote called Now and Then.
Yeah.
But it was just a piano... and vocal recording that he did on a single microphone. So, like, literally, yes.
Like a really, really rough demo.
Yeah, stripped back as you can get with a demo.
Yeah.
So, when they were putting together those other two songs for the anthology series, they tried to do this one as well. George recorded some guitar parts. But in the end, they couldn't get John's voice separated from the piano, and it was just not... super usable.
We learned that from the there's like a short 12 minute kind of behind the scenes of writing the song on their YouTube, and they talk about that, And I don't know, you're probably going to talk about this later, but I had no idea that Peter Jackson was involved in this. That's pretty cool.
Well, I knew he was involved with the Get Back documentary, and they used a lot of their, I guess, newer production capabilities to restore a lot of the audio and kind of retouch a lot of things. Like, that's how they got a lot of the spoken parts on the Get Back series to be... what's the word I'm looking for? Intelligible?
More... Oh, okay, yeah.
I guess of higher that's the word quality. I'm looking for. Yeah.
Intelligible, yep.
So anyways, just to, before we proceed further, so you became aware of this when I told you about it.
Yes, a couple days ago.
I only became aware of this about a week before it was released.
Okay.
Which is like, I don't know when they started like advertising it, but it was... Like, literally, I was just reading something on Reddit, and this popped up as, like, a, like, you may be interested in this. And so I clicked on it, and I was new Beatles song. What is this? Is this spam?
Right, yeah, I know. That's pretty crazy.
But no, I clicked on it, and it was legitimate. And so they advertised it as a new Beatles song and a mini documentary about the Beatles song coming out in 1 week.
Yeah, that's so wild. Yeah, I think they must have tried to keep it a secret for a while then.
I mean, that's what they said. Like,
for a while.
If you watch the little mini documentary, they're talking about all the production, and the people who played strings on it thought they were recording for a Paul McCartney song. They didn't tell them it was a Beatles song, which is crazy. I bet you those people were like, holy cow, whenever they figured out.
We're on a Beatles song. Yeah, how cool would that be?
That'd be super cool.
That'd be awesome.
But back to the what they're talking about in the documentary. Mm-hmm. So they had attempted to use this John Lennon demo in the 90s, and they couldn't. Peter Jackson had done all this work on Get Back, and they've developed some recording technology, audio processing softwares. And they were able to take the rough demo of John Lennon, voice and piano, and separate it.
Yes.
Which is,
that's so wild.
They explain it a little bit, but I can't wrap my mind around, like, it's just baffling that they can do that.
Yeah, I can't wrap my mind around it either. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, so they, I guess apparently they were able, I don't understand it. They used AI to, like, fill in certain little gaps here and there, I think. But I can't really go, like, in any further in depth because I don't understand it.
Yeah, and neither do I, and so I guess we'll just leave it at that. Like, they were able to, which is huge. So that allowed the Beatles to say, hey, we can legitimately say that the Beatles worked on this song.
Yeah.
Because we can take John's voice.
And I guess...
And they had the parts that George Harrison recorded in the 90s.
Yeah, so they had his guitar part. But for anyone who, like, hasn't recorded or doesn't understand, like, the recording process... Everything is recorded separately, at least as far as like modern recording goes. So if they were to do piano and vocal, they would record those completely separate and isolated. So that's why it's baffling that they were able to take something that was already recorded together and separate it. They Jesse said, they took the newly stripped vocal part. They took George's guitar part. Paul recorded bass and some other instruments. Ringo played drums, and they were able to have every single individual Beatles member contribute to this brand new song.
Yeah, which is so wild.
Yeah, it's
because when did John pass away? He passed away in the 70s, right? 72 or 73?
I think it was 1980.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
I said that with confidence too. I really thought I was right.
You really did.
Okay, I'm like, so he passed away in the 80s.
I'm 90% sure it was 1980.
Okay.
So
that's wild, and
it's more wild that I'm really glad that when they were putting together the other two songs in the 90s that George actually did record guitar parts, because that was like. Like they could have looked at that demo and said it's not usable, and he just wouldn't have tried any guitar parts, and that would have been it, you know?
Yeah. So, I kind of want to give like my overall thoughts about the song, and then we can kind of delve into it, I guess.
Sure.
So first of all, I think this really does sound like a Beatles song. Like on the first listen, I thought, wow, this sounds like it could have come out like in the 70s.
Yeah, or if you had to break the Beatles off into like two segments, I'd say it's like second half of Beatles era.
Yeah, I agree.
Not the rock and roll
everything,
stuff.
Everything from the melody choice that John chose, mm-hmm. To like the chord choices, the chord progressions, the way it was produced, the way the drums feel and sound, and like the fills that Ringo uses, even to the bass line that Paul uses. Mm-hmm. The entire thing overall really feels like those four guys coming together in that time period. And it really sounds like that era of Beatles, which I thought was really, really cool.
And I also think it's worth noting that the string, I'm pretty sure the string arrangement and the production was handled by Giles Martin, who is, yes. What's his name? Is it George Martin's son? And George Martin produced all the Beatles stuff, and he did all the string arrangements and orchestration for them too. So it's, I think he tried to do it like in his dad's style, which is like the fifth Beatle almost.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And so I think it's overall just really, really awesome to see that even though, John and George are gone, like the uniqueness that they brought to the Beatles before the 80s at some point and George in the 90s, mm-hmm. like they were still able to impart their like general vibe onto like what the Beatles are, and they were able to encapsulate that this late in 2023. Well, and they were able to produce a song that genuinely feels like a Beatles song. Really cool.
I totally agree. And I think it's everyone who, if you haven't seen the little mini documentary on the making of it, go ahead and watch it, because it's pretty cool to see, especially after listening a couple times through. Mm-hmm. But even Paul said that he recorded this guitar solo on a slide and he tried to play it in the style of what he thinks George would have played. I agree with Jesse. I think it sounds like a legitimate Beatles song. Like it could have come out on any of their last, I don't know, four albums. It would be in place. But also, maybe not. Maybe it's like a progression of where they could have gone. I don't know.
Okay, yeah. That's fair. That's a fair opinion to have, or a fair point to take.
Perhaps.
On that.
It could have fit in on one of those albums, or it could have been on a new album. But like I love hearing the new song, but it kind of like it has that bittersweet emotion of like, again, there will never be more Beatles after this.
Yeah, for sure.
But at the same time, 2 weeks ago, I didn't know there was going to be new Beatles. So like, what am I complaining about, you know?
Yeah, it feels pretty good to have, or it's pretty amazing, or it's something to have even that.
Yeah. It's pretty cool, and I like what they did with the packaging, the release. They put it out on a 7-inch record, and it's the new song, cool. Now and Then, on the A side, and the B side is Love Me Do, because that was their first single ever released. So it's like their first and last pressed together.
First and their last, yeah.
Just kind of nice,
Now and Then.
Sentimental, and like it's a nice song thematically too. Like, I didn't even, like, touch upon the lyrics. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's...
We can definitely talk about that.
Yeah, it's just John talking about, like, sharing love for somebody, you know, and thinking back about things. It's a nice song. Like, it's... I was a little surprised by the minor chords and the melody in the verses at first. Because
I think the way that they tiptoe between minor and major... The feeling in that song is so awesome.
Oh, I agree, because it's the verse starts out so minor, and then maybe like the third bar, I guess you would say, or the third section of the verse, it starts to sound major, like almost uplifted, and then it brings back the minor again. It's just,
yeah,
it leads you into a lot of feelings musically, I think.
Yeah, through musically, and also just by the, especially if you watch it like with the video that they recorded, like the music video that they did for it.
Oh yeah,
it shows like John and George, like when of like old versions of them alongside like the older versions of mm-hmm. or the current version of. I say current version, but like Paul and Ringo as they are right now.
Yeah. But there was even, like, in the music video, there's even a moment where it's... Because I think the George Harrison they showed was maybe, like, the Sgt. Pepper's George. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But there was a moment when they showed George and he looks, like, to the side. And it shows George from the 90s when he looked a lot older.
Yeah. Yeah, I do remember that.
So
yeah.
I really like how they showed that. And then they would show just clips of all four Beatles together from almost, like, every era, it seemed like.
Yeah,
just
and like
real touching.
Seeing that as, I mean, I grew up, not grew up listening to them, but like I've over probably the last 15-20 years I've listened to them, and so like it's really cool to see how, see all those different versions of them and like seeing them coming together one more time. And it really does like show how special like those four guys were, like, or like that group was. Yeah. Each of them brought their unique aspect to, who or what the Beatles are and were.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, there's this last song truly is a Beatles song, which I think is just really, really special.
I think so too. And it just feels cool to be alive to experience that, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, I thought about too, like all the musicians, past and present, who have gained an inspiration from the Beatles. So, like, I feel like this song probably means a lot to a lot of people.
I think you're right. There's never been.
I think it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, there's never been a band like the Beatles before them, and there will never be a band like them afterwards.
Yeah, because it's the unique aspect of each or four of those guys coming together in that one moment.
Yeah. Agreed. So, really, really cool song. If you,
fantastic song,
dear listener, have not listened, please go ahead and do yourself a favor and check it out. It's really cool. I think I read this correctly, that this song broke the record for the most streams in one day on Spotify.
Oh, really?
I think it narrowly beat the previous title holder, who was Taylor Swift.
Wow. All right.
Don't tell Becca. Just kidding. I'll tell her later.
you'll break the bad news later.
Yeah, she might get upset. No, I know.
I'm sure she'll be very, very upset.
No, she'll be fine. Oh, man. But yeah, it's been a really good few weeks for music, I think.
Yeah.
And at least for me, I don't know. like there's the new Blink-182 has been satiating my musical thirst.
Yeah.
Or my musical hunger, I guess. You can't say, can you?
I still have to listen to most of that.
What?
Most of that album. I know. How have I not listened to it yet, right?
Yeah, I'm just amazed that I haven't listened to it more than like 300 times so far.
That is pretty amazing that you haven't yet.
I have 6 copies of this on vinyl.
Amazing.
And I've listened.
You got all the ones that you wanted to get?
Yeah, I've listened and I've played them all.
Oh, nice.
At least.
You broke them all in.
I broke them all. 2 of them I've listened to multiple times on vinyl.
Nice.
I've played through on guitar on the entire album. It's nothing too terribly challenging.
Nice.
But I will say they have played with time signatures more than I thought they would. Yes.
Huh.
Have you listened
to
this?
It's not just 4/4.
No, it's not.
Oh, wow.
Have you listened to the song Terrified?
I think so, yeah.
All right, well, we'll do an episode on that album at some point, so I won't...
That'll be for another episode.
I won't dive in, but... It's just like I'm just excited musically because there's a new Blink 182 album. They just announced a new Green Day album. Sum 41 is putting Sum 41's putting out a new album.
Wow.
I still need to listen to the new Menzingers.
Oh, yeah, so do I. I listened to it one time through.
I did, too, and I really liked it, and I meant to dive back in, but I got sidetracked by Blink-182. Can you blame me?
No, I can't.
Yeah, it happens. There's a new Taking Back Sunday that's apparently really good. I haven't listened. There's just, like, just a lot. There's so much music coming out.
There's a lot going on in the music world.
Yeah, in my music world.
It's a good time to be listening to this podcast,
yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah, we're going to be pumping it out, yo.
As long as time allows.
That's true. Jesse's pretty busy during the weeks.
Yeah.
So we'll fit it in where we can.
Yep. But overall, though, any last thoughts on this new Beatles song? Other than just being very happy about it?
Other than the fact that I wish that there was a full album coming out, I'm really pleased with it. I think the production, just the sound of the song, I think they did a good job at not making it sound like a super current recording, if that makes sense.
Mm.
I think I think that it doesn't necessarily sound like a vintage 1970s Beatles sound, but it's like, it's somewhere in between, if that makes sense.
It's a really nice mix of both, yeah. I feel like it has the polish of a newer recording, but it has the feel and general aesthetic of a Beatles song in that era.
Yeah, and I think that's a testament to Giles Martin and whoever engineered and helped produce it. I think they did a great job with it. I'm going to continue listening to it, and I'm just happy with it.
I'm very happy with it.
Yeah. It's a good time to be alive.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there is literally no other time in which to be alive, so this is the perfect time to be alive.
Yeah, lest you're a time traveler.
Yeah, and if you are, let us know.
Oh, Jesse, I was listening to a podcast the other day.
Okay.
And they were talking about if you want to debunk every time traveling like mythology type thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's you think about this one principle. If you were to, because like when, in movies when they time travel, they'll like say Back to the Future.
Yep.
He time travels at that mall and he ends up in a cornfield because that's where the mall eventually will be, right?
Yeah.
So he time travels while he's still in like occupying the same physical space on Earth.
Yep.
Who's to say that the Earth was in that exact rotation in orbit however many years prior to when he time traveled?
Okay, yep.
So
yep, I'm following
technically,
you.
If he's going to go back in time to the same physical space, he most likely will appear in outer space.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
I agree with the logic.
Yeah, so that's...
I think that makes sense.
I'd never thought about that principle, but it makes sense, right?
Yeah, you would have to... Because the Earth is hurtling through space.
Yep.
Right?
On an ellipsis around the sun.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you'd have to... You'd have to be able to pinpoint where the Earth was, which, I mean... Modern science can probably do that, right? I mean, we've been tracking stars for quite a while.
Yeah, but they weren't accounting for that in most every time travel movie or book or TV show.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's just funny to think about because you will probably populate yourself in the middle of space and die.
So if there's any time traveler listening to this right now who's figured that out, let us know.
Yes.
Thanks.
Let us know. looking forward to our next episode. Maybe it will be a regular review episode, perhaps?
Who knows?
I don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows? We don't even know, so how would you know, dear listener?
Yeah. if there are any recommendations that you have for us, let us know, and we'll do our best to get to them.
We most certainly will.
I feel like we probably have a few that we've maybe forgotten about.
100% we have. We've got several in the chamber, idea-wise.
Yeah, we've got several episodes to kind of could kind of pick from here. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see what the next one is.
How's your eucalyptus? I was about to say ellipsis because I'm still on the the Earth's orbit. How's your eucalyptus tea treating you?
My tea is treating me quite well. It's getting a little bit on the warm side and not really on the hot side, which is kind of rough. But it's still pretty good though.
Now, I know I had mentioned that the dark chocolate bitterness was covering up the booze flavor on here. But yes, as this beer has warmed up, it's somehow gotten, like, the boozy flavor has come through more and the bitterness has gotten more intense. Hmm. Which is kind of odd right. to think about, but it's still nice. I'm still glad that it's only 8 ounces.
That's very good.
And I like it. Would I get it again? I wouldn't seek it out, but if somebody handed it to me, I'd say, okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so that's my opinion.
Say you walked into a liquor store.
Sure.
And you happen to see this in like a mixed 4-pack that was like $20 for this 4-pack. Would you be like, oh, sweet, this beer's in it. That's awesome. And then you would choose that 4-pack. Or how about they were selling it in single cans. Would you put it in your 4-pack? Or 6-pack?
Probably not. And it's not a testament to how it tastes. It's just because I like to try new things.
That's fair.
I would be happy to have this again, but I like to experience new things that I haven't tried yet, so that's the reason why, and I don't think that's a fair assessment on the beer, necessarily.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. But it's very good. But I'm happy with it.
It was a good beer.
Yeah, and let's say we sign off and give it one last cheers.
Sounds good.
As we always say on American Brews and Tunes... Clink. Down the now and again hatch. Delicious.
Yeah. I mean, I just really like the theme of that song, too.
Yeah, it's...
just like, now and then, I miss you.
Yeah, which...
like, yeah, you can feel that for a lot of people in your life, I'm sure.
You can, but it feels really appropriate for the Beatles.
Especially for the Beatles, yeah.
Yeah, just timely, appropriate, and just very emotional all around.
Yeah, it definitely was. And so, well done.
Yeah, well done, Beatles.
Well done, everybody who worked on that. And both dead and alive.
Yeah. And thanks again, dear listener, for checking out this episode of a random podcast that you may or may not have known.
Yeah.
Tell your friends. Thank you.
Yeah, if you enjoy it, share it. And if you don't, well, thanks for listening anyway.
If you don't enjoy it, still share it.
Yeah, let them decide for themselves. Let your friend decide for themselves whether or not they like it.
Yeah, don't be a gatekeeper.
Yeah.
Once again, my name is Stephen Johnston.
And my name is Jesse Titus.
And this is American Brews and Tunes.
Here's a theme song, you know it's not a mean song. It's a good song, just as it should song. American Brews and Tunes.
Shibbity-bibbity-doo!